The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
Good afternoon, Atomic Athletic. Roger
speaking. This is Lou Frank Atoll.
Hello?
This is Lou Frank Atoll. What's going on?
Okay.
Oh, look who's joined us.
I'm sorry, I'm not getting...
We're broadcasting, we're on right now.
Hello?
This is me, Frank Atoll.
Okay, this is Roger LaPointe from Atomic Athletic.
What are you saying now?
This is Roger LaPointe from Atomic Athletic.
This is me, Frank Atoll.
I'm not understanding what you're saying.
I keep telling you. This is me, Frank Atoll.
Okay, what can I do for you?
I will be cocktails and hors d'oeuvres. Everybody I've mentioned. I have it on good authority.
Yes?
We're broadcasting. We're on right now. What do I say again? Oh, look who's joined us.
I'm getting a strange echo here. That's making it really difficult to understand what you're saying.
This is me, Frank Atoll. It's really funny. They're not all dumb. Oh, yeah, right. These are the wrong words. That's a bad word to use. Flew out of my head like a squirrel in a palm tree.
Okay, I'm going to let you go.
I'll take a short break here. I'll put some news in the background.
For Uncle Wolfie to read the comic strips.
Yes, indeed. It's time for Uncle Wolfie to read the comic strips here today. So let's see what's happening to Bolthead, okay? Here we go. Cut music. Here we go. Bolthead has single-handedly rescued 5 people from a burning building when one of them shouts,
"Bolthead, please bring me back inside."
"Why?" asks Bolthead, unwinding his cape over his bolted head.
"Because I left my harmonica in there."
Quickly, like a flash, Bolthead leans over and crashes through the blazing front of the fiery building, using his bolted head as a battering ram. Well, I tell you, that does it for reading the comics today, friends. Next week, I'll read you the continuing story of Belinda Sweetwig, heartthrob transvestite. See you then.
Bolthead.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Wake up. It is night. It's later than even you think, if you're thinking at all. My name is Frank Cotolo, man whose name adorns the title of the show, and always will, too.
No one else can chronicle.
Unless they're a Cotolo. Live from MySpace, it's Cotolo Chronicles. Wake up, it's night. Welcome to the Hallelujah Trail. It's a long, long way to Tipperary. Come on in, I'm the bard of the interweb. I am the godfather of internet radio. Don't you ever forget it. The bard of broadcasting now on the air. And the jigster, the jig jaguar, is with us soon. And he better be. No more guff from that guy. Here we go. From the ice cap to the ice cap, from Hamlet to City, from Othello and into every bordello. Oddly, when were we last on live? I don't even recall things that happen in this deconstructive studio, this crypt where this show began 8 million years ago. And I was almost going to say, and now I forgot what I was almost going to say. I wonder, no, it's not age, don't even, it's, as I told you from the very beginning when I was much younger, if you were listening, and I don't think you were back then, because, you know, we've gone through a couple of generations, and so we've gone through a number of bass audiences. You know, all I have is bass, well, I also have my lead guitar and my drummer and my keyboard. But the many, many people have come and gone as listeners, because it's been a long time, a long time. Jiggy Jaguar, I said it right, who blew his chance. Well, he was sick. I found out that Jiggy Jaguar was a victim of this flu going around here. If this particular show winds up in a time capsule in Y2K plus 18, the winter, in the eastern hemisphere of the winter, of Y2K plus 18, an incredibly bad strain is the word, of flu, strain of flu going around. Baldhead! That should be a series. Itchy ear. Okay. But I am back after, and then last week we had a physical problem in the room here in the studio. Had to do with the furnace, the place that keeps it warm. And we had that same problem because there was this outrageous cold spree, cold flow, cold spell. There you go. That came through earlier in the year when Jiggy Jaguar was supposed to be on when he had the flu. And we couldn't be on then either. But there were plenty of things going on. And that's one of the things we're going to talk about with the jigs. There's so much going on that it's going to be talked about later. Stay with us for that. Also, before I tell you about Kenneth Welsh, who is going to be on. Just did. I just told you. So that's it. Kenneth Welsh probably back from his shoot in Georgia. And if you've ever had a shoot in Georgia, you know what I'm talking about. We'll be here one of these weeks. As we hear, hopefully, you know, we attempt every week to do this. The things don't always work out. And we have gone through any number of technical hurdles. We've gone through many technical hurdles. It must be Jig Jaguar. Must be. Because he doesn't have a clock, I hear. He doesn't own a clock.
No.
No, you don't.
I heard you talking about me, and I thought, I'll let you call.
Oh, it is. Okay, well, let me finish what I'm saying, and then we could do the show here. As long as you're on, you're on. How are you feeling, all right?
Pretty good, actually. And I feel even better because everyone's losing their jobs. And we'll talk about that.
Yeah, we are. We're going to talk about a lot of things like that. So, Kenneth Welsh will be here. He's a great actor if you ever saw. I always loved, I've always talked about these actors that people know, but they don't know the way they know the very high profile actors, the big stars. And yet, you know, you see people in these movies and you go, hey, that guy, what's his name? You know, I think I did a show on that too, the whole bunch of people. Kenneth Welsh is one of those people. And it was funny too, because he got back in touch with me the same day. Just so happened, I'm watching this movie The Day After Tomorrow. I've seen it before. You've seen that, haven't you? Okay, now Jiggy said, well, you told me to shut up.
Yeah, you did.
Stupid laughs. This is a stupid, stupid thing we do. So anyway, so I'm watching this show because I don't know why. It's just, oh, I know why. I'm watching because it was on and I'd seen it. I'm not going to watch it from beginning to end, but I want to catch the parts where Kenneth Welsh, because that's how I know him. I know him from that movie. Sure as shooting, bold as a beauty. There is an email from him telling me to be back. So we're going to have him on there shortly. And of course, we played in the collage, the typewriter, one performance of, the typewriter, Leroy Anderson, and one of my favorite modern composers. Like, you care, you don't care. But there's so many things you've heard done by him, and I love that piece because it uses the typewriter, an actual typewriter. When it's performed live, somebody has to, there are a bunch of people playing the violins, and there's a percussion, and there's the typewriter. You have to have somebody playing the typewriter. Now, a lot of you people don't even know what's a typewriter. Right?
I always keep telling everyone, in the words of the great Arliss from HBO, I wish we could just go back to the days of the typewriter.
Who's Arliss?
Arliss was a show on HBO years and years ago.
You just said? HBO years and years ago.
We're not going to bash TV today. We're going to bash radio.
I know that, but years and years ago, the Jiggy Jaguar is here, and we're gonna hopefully not waste your time. We're gonna waste your time for 2 hours, but listening to us, it's fun. Jiggy, of course, has always been on. It's a tradition. The beginning of each year, he's usually my first guest, and you're still my first guest because nobody the hell came on in the past couple of weeks, and then we were knocked off for 2 weeks. And I say that as if anyone cares. And
we care, especially me.
Now there's a couple of people.
I love you, Frankie.
Hey, there's a couple of people out there, but Jiggy wound up, and then I was telling everybody about the gosh darn flu is still.
I had the flu, and then I gave it to my. Girlfriend's daughter. And
why?
She gave it to a few other people.
Oh boy!
So it was. It's just been fun.
Yeah, it's a terrible, terrible thing. But anyway, a lot of deaths.
Fine.
Jiggy Jaguar is.
Careers, we'll get to that.
Mr. Jaguar also is responsible for that prank call that we played at the beginning, where I called the Athletic. The Atomic Athletic Store. Oh, those wacky radio guys, huh? And it wasn't even me. It was taken from my sound clips or whatever.
Yes, the Cotillo soundboard. The legendary Cotillo soundboard.
Yeah, legendary. And there's this poor guy trying to sell, you know, jock straps, right? And there's me going, hi, you're on the air, or whatever the hell I said.
It's Frank Cotillo. Yeah.
Now think about this, people. I want to tell everyone out there that you'd be a very, very lucky person if you knew someone, anyone, one person on the face of the earth who would make prank calls on your behalf using your voice. And you don't even have to be there. Someone spent time in their lives to call up somebody and do a prank call with recorded lines by you. That's an honor in itself. It makes the whole 20-something years worth it.
That all started with the old Arnold Schwarzenegger prank calls, and now it just led into you and everybody else.
You know, I meant to tell you this because I don't often mention his name, but this is what else I was going to tell you when you got. I might as well tell you now. We're doing the show here. No. Before you, and I'll tell everyone else too, because I think, I don't know if I mentioned it, But we, I received, I always hear my father going, I got. No, okay. I received, I get the words, speak your language. I received an email, a Facebook message of all things. You know, I don't even go there that much anymore. It's a piece of trash. Anyway, so, I get a message from, Phil, a guy named Phil. I think you know a guy named Phil.
Oh, good Lord. Goes back to the typewriter. I don't know.
Yeah, well, anyway.
It goes back to the days of the desk.
So he says, so he writes to me and he writes to me and says, where have you been? And, you know, it's like, yeah, right. So I went.
People to sell to this day who are like, you still do that radio show?
So I wrote back and I said, listen, if you don't know what I've been doing, you obviously haven't been listening. So who cares, right?
Yes.
So then he responds and he says, yeah, well, the Des show is coming back. And he gives me a date.
Of course it is.
And I said, oh, so that's why you got in touch. He said, you got in touch for that? Because, you know, he really PO'd me off. PO? What is a PO?
He digs you.
PO? He PO'd me? No, that's what he pissed me off is what he did.
Pissed you off. Yeah.
And, you know, I have fun with people. You know, the few times I've gotten pissed off, you know, because you've been there.
And we're going to, and in a roundabout way, one of the guys that you've gotten pissed off at or pissed off at you, I ironically helped him get a job by trolling someone, but we'll talk about
that. Okay, we'll talk about that stuff. In any event, in all events, and certainly in this event, my name is Frank Cotullo. My name is joins the title of the show. This is Cotullo Chronicles. I'm the only one allowed to chronicle. And Jiggy's the penultimate longest person on the interweb with me and the RSD. So, what have you been doing? You want to have some things to talk about. Let's start with.
I feel like I'm Santa Jigman Freud and I've got a list and I'm checking it twice.
Well,
longer and longer every day, and it just makes me so, it makes my heart warm.
It's a good list because.
It's a good list. Well, it's not a good list for some people. The people on the list probably don't want to be on the list, but,
Well, why don't we start with you? You said first, you have news? Do you have news from Iowa? Did you say Iowa?
I thought I had news from Iowa. I had applied for a job with an Iowa radio station, and they were going to bring me up there, and they were going to put me up in a hotel and pay my gas and do a bunch of stuff. And then I kind of got cold feet and decided I didn't really want to move to Iowa, and then I talked it over with a few people and they're like, you should at least go talk to the people. So I got back in touch with the guy. Well, then the guy got back in touch with me and he's like, I would love to have you come up here, but the guy who was going to leave, he decided not to leave. So I don't know what we're going to do. So if the job comes open, I'll get a hold of you. So it all worked out in the end.
What? I find this, difficult. I mean, I know you're not lying. I'm just using this term because I find difficult to believe is that this stuff still happens. Are there radio stations anywhere that, would take somebody from some other place and spend money to get them in there and put them on the air? When is anybody on doing what? I mean, really, you know, in terms of like local radio, I mean,
this will feed into our list.
Okay.
But local radio is just insane. Like the last real job offer that I had was ironically in Iowa about 2 years ago, and they wanted a talk host, and I thought, oh, I can do that. I'm a talk host. So I got a hold of them and went up there and talked to them, and they, you know, took me all over the town, you know, just rah-rah, everyone's excited. And then I'm like, so what is the shift? And they're like, well, 5 a.m. to, of course, being radio, 5 a.m. to like 9. And I'm like, well, how much talking am I going to get to do? And so they told me, well, in between, you know, the Dave Ramsey minute and this and that, and the Mike Huckabee minute and Iowa Sports Update and so essentially, they were going to move me from the middle of Kansas to the middle of nowhere, Iowa, for me to identify the station, say the weather, and go to the Mike Huckabee Minute.
The Mike Huckleberry Minute. I call him Huckleberry.
Like, and I'm like, what in the world?
Really?
What, could you just find somebody from the local community college to do
Why
that?
Didn't they? When they were going to pay you for that? Because what?
They were paying me $40,000 a year to do that.
It's your name. It's your name. It's your, you're a brand. You're a brand flake. Is what you're
Lord.
And what happened? That sounded like a – you said I don't want
basically, to. I decided I wasn't going to do it because they weren't going to let me talk. And it was a talk radio job.
Why would they hire someone for $40,000 a year, which is really even not – it's a lot for radio, I guess.
It's a lot for radio, yes.
Why would they do that to have somebody just say, and now here's Mike Huckleberry?
I don't know. I honestly don't know.
You follow a lot of – I know you still do this because radio is your life.
Yes.
So you read all these
things. As I like to say, and I'll say that a lot during this show.
What?
I love radio. I just can't stand the radio business. I can't stand the business of radio. And I've said this for a few years, and I've probably said it every year on your show, that at some point I am going to be outside with my hands being warmed on the fire that is the radio business. Or I'm going to roast marshmallows. And everyone's always said, it's never going to happen. It's going to happen. Well, after I read this list, they're queuing up the fat lady, and she's got her lighter ready.
Wow.
It's going to be fun. I might get to warm my hands by the time next winter rolls around on the radio business as it burns to the ground.
The, let me know, well, here's what, was that it? No,
yeah,
you got
yeah.
more, right? You got more to say?
I got plenty more. We haven't gotten to my, my fun list here. But,
I want you to talk about things and then I'll add a lot. I'll put in a couple of things I wanted you to talk about with me. So
okay,
why don't you go through your list? We got plenty of time.
Do the bad things.
Plenty of time here.
Well, let's start with, and this all seemed to happen within a week. And I thought this, it was like Christmas had come late or early. I don't know. Whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
Don Imus gets axed.
Who?
Don Imus.
When did he get axed? He got axed from where? I don't even know.
Well, he was on WABC and he still is till March 29th.
Oh, okay.
Well. But, he announced, I believe it was last week, he announced, I'm going to do my last show March 29th. And everybody's like, oh my God. Don Imus is leaving. Is he sick? Is he?
Well, he's old. I mean, it wouldn't be a surprise, right? Wouldn't be a surprise.
Oh my God, Don Imus.
All right.
Well, come to find out, his syndicator and the people who are paying his check don't have any money. So they said, we'll see you later, Don. And that was Cumulus Media.
And he was on what? He was on what? Was he on 400 stations yet or still?
He was on 400 stations and Cumulus Media, which is the second largest radio group in the country, declared bankruptcy in the middle of December.
Wow.
And, this is basically just the fallout from
He wasn't free, was he? He wasn't one of those free shows.
No.
Yeah, that's why.
He was on like WABC and places like that.
Yeah, but they took his show, in other markets.
They syndicated him all over the place.
Well,
yes.
But he was being paid at ABC and that's the show that was going out.
He was being paid and then Cumulus decided that they didn't have any more money to pay him.
Wow.
So they're like, well, your contract expires in December, but we're probably not going to pay it out that far.
Is there no more Cumulus?
Done.
Is there no more Cumulus?
They're slowly but surely dismantling themselves. Mm. They, on the very same day, they told, and you're probably going to rake me over the coals for this because, this is a name guy that I'm sure you're probably not real fond of, but one of my radio heroes besides you, is a guy out of Chicago by the name of Man Cow.
Oh, you've talked about him and I think I've heard him on, is that a sports radio?
I think you're thinking of, Mad Dog.
Anyway, okay. I thought
Man Cow was doing the morning show for a Chicago station called The Loop.
Okay.
And The Loop was being purchased by Cumulus Media. and Cumulus Media had a contract with ManCow to do their morning show.
Wait, they have no money, but they bought a station in Chicago?
They were LMAing it, as they say.
Oh, okay.
They were buying it. They were in the process of buying it. Well, they basically told the people they were buying it from the same day they told Don Imus to get to Stepin. They said,
to get to Stepin.
We're not, yeah. It's a hip term that the cool kids use. Yeah. And I try to be as cool as possible.
Yeah.
When they told Don Imus to leave, mm-hmm. when they told him to put the keys on the counter and walk away slowly.
He's still on ABC though, right?
He's still on ABC until sure. March 29th.
Oh wow, so he's leaving ABC too? Why would he leave ABC?
He's WABC.
Yeah. WABC. So there's nothing wrong with ABC. Are they changing their format or is he just too much money or what?
They've just decided they're not paying him anymore. So okay. See ya. Get out. Well, they told ManCow that they weren't going to buy the station that he was on. And so they probably weren't going to be paying his contract anymore. And so he's kind of without somewhere to go. Now, he's still doing the morning show for whatever reason. And he'll land on his feet, much like Don Imus will land on his feet. Someone will come along and scoop up Don Imus.
Well, you know, what else does Don have to do? But, I mean, he doesn't have to do that show anymore.
See, that's the thing. So you got Don Imus and ManCow. Well, what's funny is the day that they told Don to leave mm-hmm. and told ManCow they aren't going to pay him anymore, they notified the Chicago White Sox, the Cubs, Major League Baseball, and the NFL, who they were buying broadcast rights for to put on all their stations.
Mm-hmm.
They notified them they will no longer be paying for those rights to those to those broadcasts.
Mm-hmm.
So Cumulus Media is a huge dumpster fire. Well, besides Cumulus Media, there is a group called Emmys Communications, which is like a minor communication company.
Uh-huh.
Well, they sold all their St. Louis radio stations the other day and just totally left the St. Louis market, which was one of their big markets.
Now, when they leave, what happens? I mean, you go to the band and there's nothing there?
What they did is they divided up the radio stations they had. They sold them to other people in the market. So, like CBS got some stations, Intercom got some stations.
Oh, yeah.
They basically sold the stations and then they said, okay, well, we're done. Well, then today, which is a very proud moment, but it shouldn't be a proud moment because Bob Pittman, the genius, is going to be getting a golden parachute, as they say in the stock world. But iHeartRadio, their board voted today to not pay their debt payment. They've decided, well, we're not paying our debts.
Well,
which means that at some stage of the game, the debt collectors are going to take them to court, which they've already have,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to force them to sell all their radio stations. And so, piece by piece, iHeartRadio will, and it's already happened because iHeart sold all the, they own this thing called Clear Channel Outdoor, which is all the people that own all the billboards. Like if you drive down the highway, you'll see at the bottom of the billboard, Clear Channel Outdoor.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they sold all their billboards fairly recently because they didn't have any money. They sold all their radio towers to all the cell phone companies last year. And then the cell phone companies would, I guess iHeart would then rent. I don't understand that why you would sell yourself, why you would sell your towers and then turn around and rent the space of those towers from the new company that you sold them to. But that's what they were doing.
Oh, okay.
So.
Wow. Wow. I didn't know all that. I don't spend any time reading that kind of news, but I'm not surprised with any of it. But what I want to know from you is what is that all about? They're not making money, obviously, because they're not making money.
The thing that has gotten me about, especially with iHeartRadio, is that the last several years, they have been telling their debt collectors and everybody, oh, we're going to pay you, we're going to pay you, we're going to pay you. And every once in a while, they come up with some cash and they pay them. And then they still do these music awards where they're flying like Taylor Swift out to Vegas. And they're
What's the difference? I mean, if they put all that on credit, they're going to go bankrupt anyway. They're not going to pay it.
That's the thing. And what's finally happened is we literally don't have the money to pay Taylor Swift to get on a plane to come to Vegas. Mm-hmm. So
rent her a car.
Rent her a car. There you go. Well, I 2 years in a row when we went to the Adult Video News Awards out there in Vegas, me and my cohorts drove to Vegas from Kansas. So
yeah,
it is possible, but I don't think Taylor Swift would get into a car.
No, I jest. I jest. That's something the middle-aged elite say.
Yes.
I jest. So you're, look, none of this is there more news? More bad news, please?
Well, there's bad news, but it's bad news that's not really radio related. It's more media related.
Well, like, listen, that's why we're here. Things are, they're not going to talk about that. People are not going to be honest about this on broadcast, you know, if they have jobs and stuff. They're going to be talking about this crap. So we should talk about it and tell everyone.
We
should get this show to get viral somehow. We'll send this link everywhere until they send us spam notices to tell everyone that it's over, okay? It's over. Now tell us the next bit of
I feel like
media news.
I feel like Ferris Bueller at the end of Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Okay, now wait a second. Let me think of the end of that movie. It's not exactly embroidered in my memory. The end of that movie. Good. Why don't you refresh our memories?
At the end of Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yeah.
The lead character, Ferris Bueller, shows up at the end of the credits with his pajamas on, and he goes,
"Oh yeah,
it's over. Yeah. Why are you still here?"
I was disappointed in that movie that he didn't die at the end.
That he didn't die?
Yeah, at the end. I was, you know. I wanted his day to really be off. Yeah.
But Vanity Fair fairly recently got and I don't know how you pronounce it.
I read Vanity Fair. I get it every month.
There is
what did I miss?
I guess that has been running Vanity Fair for 25 years by the name of Griden Carter, I think is how you pronounce his name.
Uh-huh.
He put out his last issue of Vanity Fair apparently this last month.
Wait a second. Vanity Fair, I just got
Vanity Fair is still around. They just told him, we're not paying you anymore. Oh, get out.
Well, you know, a lot of these people have been getting inflated paychecks.
And I think that's probably why, is that he's probably gotten
not all going out of business. So, you know, so they got rid of him. So, big deal.
They're telling him to leave, and that's fine. Leslie Moonves.
I've heard that name. Who is that?
Leslie Moonves used to run, well, and still to this day, up until the merger goes through, CBS.
Oh, okay.
Well, CBS and... they're merging with another broadcast company.
CBS is merging?
Let me see here. It's CBS.
The Columbia Broadcasting System is merging?
Yes. They are merging with...
Or are they buying and attaining another company?
CBS and Viacom are coming together.
Oh, really? So is Viacom buying CBS? Is that...
Essentially. And what's going on is that they want Leslie Moonves to, I guess, work with them, but he's not really interested in moving forward. So once the merger becomes complete, he's probably going to be out the door. So
I wonder if any of these people saved their pennies or if they just lived.
I hope they did.
Lived their lives as
I would assume they did.
You know, there were so many signs of this apocalypse that I'm surprised that anybody. I guess, like I said, they probably weren't facing the truth. You and I both know what happened because we were hearing this and we'll talk about this later, but, we knew there was a lot of trouble. But let me ask you this because before you were supposed to come on last time, I looked at the site or something from your website and I clicked on it and I went to this place. where they have a list. Maybe they have them ranked or whatever. It doesn't matter if they're ranked, but they have a list of all these shows that stream. These are just audio shows like yours and mine. They stream. And I looked at this list and they have, you know, a little picture, icon of the person. And I was, so I'm scrolling through that and the thing just keeps on going. And there's this guy, that girl, this woman, that guy, that kid, that, and you know, and it's like, I don't know what they're doing, but I guess these are, the podcast, they're not live, are they? All these, you know what website is that? It was Radio Honors, Radio Stream or whatever. You're ranked in there, aren't you, somewhere?
Is it Talk Stream Live?
Maybe it's one of those things. But there were so many. It was sickening. There were so many so-called personalities or people who did whatever they do, 1 hour, 2 hours, all of them jockeying for the same audience, right? Because, I mean, there's nothing really, radio belongs to older people, right?
Yes.
And, I'm going, how do these people even get the energy to sit behind a mic or whatever, you know, and say, hi, it's me. Here's my opinion to somebody or, I mean, really, I tell you, the only station that should be around is WTFC. That's my station.
WTFC.
Yeah. Who the fuck cares? That's what it stands for.
they must be an NPR affiliate.
I don't even, that's a whole nother thing, but.
That is a whole nother thing.
Who are these people and what? I would love to have any one of them and all of them on one at a time while I'm still on the air. And
one at a time,
you know, I could do it in like three shows because they're like, you know, 3 minutes here, 3 minutes there, because what do they have to say?
I would love to listen to you and Michael Savage interview each other or you and Alex Jones. I think that would be the greatest day in radio.
Really? Well, Michael Savage and I, you know, wouldn't talk any politics. We'd wind up talking about all those things that make us, creatures of the urban upbringing, no less the New York urban upbringing. That's it. Who wants to talk politics? Because let's face it, the stuff that's going on, where is this audience? How many old, I know people are living longer.
See, this is the thing. The audience is not there. That is why.
Who are all these people on that show? Who are all these people on that? Tell me what is it? Let me get a browser up here. Okay. What is the name of that?
I always love going to
what's the name of that site?
Huh? Talkers.com and looking at their.
Okay, what is it? Talk.com?
Talkers.com.
T-A-L.
And they have a list on there called the.
Com. Okay, yeah.
Heavy 100, I think is what it's called. Let me find it. The Heavy 100.
Talkers.com. Let's find this.
Talkers.com.
Here.
It is.
It's going now to Talkers.com. It says the Bible of what? The Bible?
The broadcasting.
Here we go.
Go over to this thing called, there's a thing it's called, says the Heavy 100.
Look at this, up close and far, a candid conversation with Curtis Sliwa. And then to listen to the podcast, oh geez, I hope there's some left. Who is that? And then Michael Harrison? Who's that? Oh, that's a WABC New York personality. I don't even know him. Oh, here's Curtis.
Michael Harrison runs Talkers Magazine.
Curtis, he was one of these guys in New York, or what were they called?
He was the leader of the Guardian Angels.
That's their name, the Guardian Angels. Yeah, they go way back.
Guardian Angels, baby.
Yeah, they go way back, the Guardian Angels. Okay. Okay, so now what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to look at what?
Go over to this thing called the Heavy 100. It's in the the top there, and it'll pop a little box that'll say Heavy 100 of Doc.
Okay, let's look here. About Talk and Michael Burr. I'm going to get these names. Talkers TV, Talkers Radio, Research, Heavy 100 I'm looking. Ah, here we go. How about the Heavy
100 of Talk 2017.
Yeah, we won't go to sports. I can't even imagine going. That's just
The only names you need to know in the sports is Jim Rome. That's
hey, it. Hodgson Radio says, good guests make great radio. Jesus. Jesus on the mount. Oh, look at this. And here's a Premier Networks. Facts first. A big poster here for the
it's a big poster of
the Sean Hannity Show.
Big star, Sean Hannity.
I think, let me ask you something on Twitter, because you might even know this. Well, I should ask my son, but I didn't. How do you know if somebody's blocked you?
Usually you go over and you try to add them as a friend, and it says that you are blocked.
Oh, okay. That's the only way you know. They don't.
There's a gentleman, and we'll probably talk about him a little bit later. Okay. He's not a fan of mine. By the name of Dan Gaffney, who blocked me on Twitter. And, let me see if I can find what exactly it says when you go look for, Okay. Hulk Hogan blocked me on Twitter.
So you have to. So that's how you know. You're saying you'll just know.
You go over and you type in that
you want to be their friend or follow.
You
them.
Want to be their friend or like. And you go to like.
Okay. All right. All right. That's enough. I got.
Yeah.
It.
And it'll say something about you've been blocked from viewing their updates or whatever.
Yeah, okay. Fine. So now what about this? Here we are. The 2017 Talkers Heavy 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America. Do we have a new definition for the word important? Or let's look at now. What did you want? Is this what we're going to look for? We're going to look on this?
This is a list of talk hosts.
Okay.
And
many we know because they're the same old.
There's Rush and Hannity and Rush, all the people.
Hannity
Seth is on there.
Okay, wait a second. Dave Ramsey is third. I don't know him.
Dave Ramsey's the money guy that everybody likes.
He does what? He does money.
He's a big money guy. He helps you get out of debt.
So. Oh, and look, who's four is the same as one and two, right? We got Mark Levin.
Yes. Gee, the guy who Savage says sounds like Groucho Marx on helium.
Look at the
number five is the Baxter, Crazy Glenn. Number six is Howard, of course. Savage is seven. Eight is a guy
Joe
with
Madison.
Who? I did an entire show one time where I went down the list of the Talkers 100, and most of them I spent the time going, who?
Okay, but do you know what they do? Even if it just says who? What is Joe Madison?
Joe Madison apparently he is. I know that he is a. He's not conservative. He's a he's a left guy. He's a
really there is a left guy out there. There's a left guy out there.
Oh yeah, there's a few. Oh, Tom Hartman is a left guy.
Where the heck do they get them? Where do they get any? Any listeners up close and far out with Michael Harrison? Oh, he's not even they put an ad. It's an ad between 8 and 9.
Yes,
oh, here's Tom Hartman. Why does he sound familiar? He looks like Andy Garcia, doesn't he?
Tom Hartman looks like Andy Garcia.
He does.
Yeah.
He kind of looks like Andy Garcia. Yeah. Yeah.
Who is he? You know, Mike Gallagher. Is
okay.
On
yeah. Salem. Why does that sound familiar? The Salem.
Radio Network.
What does Gallagher do? Take a guess, right?
Gallagher's a big righty. He's a right-wing guy.
So he's filling in the gap of the ones that, of right voices, the conservative voices that are missing. He's filling in.
Then you've got Laura Ingraham there. And
yeah, okay, there's Laura. And then
you know, you go
Todd
down the
Schnitt?
List,
a WOR guy. Todd Schnitt.
Todd Schnitt, yes. Todd Schnitt is a guy who, the only thing I really know about him is that he engaged in a defamation lawsuit with a guy by the name of Bubba the Love Sponge. That's the only thing I know about him.
That sounds familiar. Todd Schnitt. I guess by the time Todd Schnitt got into radio, they said, nah, you don't have to change your name anymore.
And then, okay. There's Bill Handel and Howie Carr.
Bill Handel? Another right guy, probably.
Yes.
It's gotta be.
He's an attorney. He's an attorney.
Oh, great. Howard Carr.
Howie Carr is out of Boston.
Okay. George. It's George Inouye. Is that what
George
he looks like?
Everybody's favorite.
Is that what he looks like?
Yes, and George Inouye, as they call him.
And the only thing...
Nobody calls him that but me.
The only reason I bring up his appearance is because he looks like he's... Everything's colored. His hair is like, what do they use, a flare?
Oh, yeah. He's just for men all the way. He's got the sponsorship deal, the whole pack.
Yeah, he doesn't...
George Inouye.
George Inouye. You know, I go like, wait... This guy, you know, it's like when they kept telling me, not you, but obviously, Mr. Phil over there and his Des,
yes,
and
he goes,
who is
the,
who are their heroes? What was that guy's
Art
name?
Art Bell.
They're talking about Art Bell. And I'm like, I finally heard Art Bell and I'm going, how could anyone have a hero? How could anyone aspire to someone who's just, you know, a vanilla, listen to me. Vanilla bean has some, at least has some color.
He could be on the talkers list this year.
Now, even though a lot of these we don't know, these are still real radio people.
These are all real radio people.
I mean, okay, we're gonna go to the other ones and there's another list somewhere. Okay, Michael Burry, don't know him. George Pagliarulo.
He goes by the name of Joe Pags.
Oh, wait a second. I've heard this guy. I've turned him off when he substituted for someone who I turn off.
Probably Beck. I would assume.
Yeah, Joe Pags. Yeah.
Joe Pags.
Boy, that's cool. I'm Joe Pags. Lars Larson.
If
your last name is...
Out of Portland, home of the other white meat.
If your last name is Larson, your parents... are not very creative, are they? Let's call him Lars.
I had 9 months. Oh.
They wanted to call him Larson, but they said that. Now, don't get carried away.
Hey, that could work. Maybe
what
he'll
he
be
do?
On the...
Do you know him?
The 18 edition.
What does he do? Nevanda, Kanda, Vinda, don't... What does he do? Does he just talk about things in Sweden?
He's another one of these righties.
Wow. Bohannon, I remember from...
Jim Bohannon.
Westwood One is still around?
Oh yes, but it's not what it used to be.
Well, not okay. It's we don't. Silver. That's not a really fair.
And Hugh Hewitt.
Oh, Hugh Hewitt is the yeah.
He's on TV.
Yeah, he's Hugh Hewitt. Okay.
Yeah.
John and Ken. What do they do? Are they a zoo guy? Zoo guys? Morning guys?
I think they're zoo guys, but they do stuff overnight. They're overnight zoo guys.
Wow, they're overnight live.
Yes.
I heard a. You know, one night, I was telling everyone about this. One night.
Going through the Dockers 100, that is awesome.
One night, we lost, all the power here in this neighborhood because a truck hit a tree and the tree
had
a wire.
It had a transformer, I would assume.
Yeah. And I was stuck. Luckily, all I had was a transistor radio. Now, I know I'm the only person in this whole county who probably still has a transistor radio, okay?
Yes.
And I was listening because, you know, late at night, you're going to get in all those signals, you know, because everybody drops out early. So I'm getting all sorts of places. And there was a guy on there. I thought this was it was rather original, at least if you want to do a show. Well, he was just asking truckers. He was for truckers. He was a show where he talked to truckers. These guys were on the road, call in because they can. They live in the gosh damn things, right? For how many times a day or an hour? And it was truckers. They were just truckers calling in and talking about things. And he did truck things.
Oh, yeah.
Do you
like
know that guy?
Thing.
You know that guy?
No. I don't know what you're talking about, but I know that, yeah, that's...
Okay. We go to 23 to get Stephanie Miller. Here's another female. We haven't had a female since Laura. Who's this? You know her?
Stephanie Miller used to be a comedian, and she was a righty, and then she became a lefty.
All right. So at least she's funny either way, though. She does funnies.
So she's a comedian, and then...
There's another one.
Dana Loesch.
Loesch.
She is on Glenn Beck's TV channel. And
he still has a TV channel? People are subscribing?
Yes, people are still giving the Baxter money. Dana is like a big gun chick. She's all, you know, you type her name in, she's like been on, she's like big NRA chick and all that.
Okay. Smirkanish we know from CNN.
Yeah.
She's on Sirius, which is anything but serious. Oh, then it ends. Oh, that's the top 25.
You got a list at the bottom. There's
See. Yeah, 26.
50, 51 through 75, and 76 through 100. No,
we don't have to go through every one because I want to go through
some.
Just give you an idea, though.
That gives you the idea of who's out there and what they're doing.
Is a good place to stop. 26. Alex Jones is a good place to stop.
Alex Jones, yes. The fantastic Alex Jones. One of my favorites.
Yeah, but he's one of your favorites based on his shtick. His shtick, right?
Yes, his insanity.
He's a shtick. The shtick.
He does have a gimmick, as they say.
Yeah, you don't buy any of that stuff.
Have a gimmick. No, I don't buy into his stuff. But I mean, okay, you've got that. We were talking about Leslie Moonves. Well, another guy who was all over YouTube.
Oh, wait a second. Here's a guy I absolutely hate. If he came into my house, I'd punch his face. Bill Cunningham.
Bill Cunningham. Rootin' tootin' Bill Cunningham.
God, what a self-righteous son of a... Well, I'm a great American. Yeah, well, I got a great American fist for your face. I hate him so much. I use the word hate sometimes, and I really mean it. I mean, I'm not a Nazi or anything. I'm not one of those guys. But, you know, have you left? Did you go away?
No, I'm listening to you.
Anyway, that's the point. I don't want to look at his face. I got to get it off the screen, that guy. Okay, go on. What were you saying before I interrupted you?
Another guy who got his walking papers this last week. He's one of these YouTubers, one of these people who's made a life on YouTube.
Really?
I don't know how these people exist, but his name is Casey Neistat.
I don't know him.
And he puts up these daily videos where he puts up like these little movies about his life and things. And he signed a deal with CNN last year for $25 million and they bought his app and they did all sorts of stuff. And they were going to try to make him like the big important, you know, voice for the millennials. Uh-huh. Apparently he can't work in a team environment, so they sent him packing. So he took his $25 million and left.
You don't have to give it back, huh?
I guess not. I guess he's got his 25 mil and he's leaving.
It says here number 42 is Don Imus, and he says Westwood One.
Don Imus, yes, Westwood One, is Cumulus.
Oh, it is?
Yes, I Cumulus didn't know that. Bought Westwood One.
Tim Conway Jr., is that Tim Conway's son?
I think so. I think so.
Because he has a little look of, like that. Okay, fine. All right, go ahead. Mandy Connell.
Let's see. Who else?
Wait a second. What's this? Bernie and Sid. So Bernie is now has his, he's on ABC with this guy Sid?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So he has his own show there. Yeah. I remember Bernie from the Imus days. Anyway, go on.
Well, so we had Casey Neistat, and then there was this guy who, and I hear his name constantly on the news channels. Nate Silver. Do you know who this Nate Silver is?
Oh, Nate Silver is the 538 guy. He's the guy from 538.
Yes.
Yeah, sure.
Disney bought Nate Silver and bought the website, and they decided this week they're going to dump it. So they've put it up for sale.
538's going?
So it's gone.
Now, wait a second. Didn't Disney own ESPN anyway?
Yes.
Oh, so they've just decided to get rid of him? Why?
They've just decided to get rid of Nate Silver and the website.
What a wonderful, it's a wonderful deal. Nobody else does what they do. Apparently, do they not get any, are they not getting, they got TV exposure. They get a lot of stuff. How could they just want to dump them for what?
Look here.
What does it say? Let's give us some.
Let's say this, the Hollywood Reporter, of course, always a trusted news.
Oh yeah, that's
ESPN's pivot away from politics may include 538 sale.
Because they're moving away from anything political.
It says, how long will Nate Silver stay at ESPN when news broke January 25th? The Disney-owned network was exploring options to sell off the political stat guru's 538 vertical. First reaction from many analysts was, why was it bought in the first place?
Yeah, those guys did a hell of a job for they did sports stuff too. I mean, did a lot of sports statistics. They didn't just do politics. And that's weird because they were really down. I mean, I'm sure guys really, you know, I'm sure the guys at Breitbart don't believe, but these guys are really right down the middle. But anyway, well, you know, everything has a life.
But that pretty much, that's my list so far. Now earlier today, and this doesn't really have much to do with anything except for the fact that I get to laugh at this woman.
Okay.
But there is a woman by the name of Andrea Tenteros. Mm-hmm. And Andrea Tenteros is one of the people who was at Fox News who claims that she was sexually harassed.
Okay.
And she is trying to sue, and Fox News has been trying to avoid paying her. She's the one chick they haven't given any money to.
Okay. I'm sure if I saw her, would I know her? I mean,
you might.
No, it doesn't matter.
Tenteros was sort of famous for suing Westwood One and Dial Global when she had a radio show on there.
Hey, wait a second. I am listening to you, but I was just rolling through this to see Joe Piscopo is number 74.
Joe Piscopo has a show. Yes, he does.
So that's where he went.
He went to radio. So does Danny Bonaducci. He has a show too. But
all right, go ahead. So what about this girl? What's the story with her?
Andrea Tenteros she's more famous for a lawsuit that she tried to bring against Talk Radio Network, where she said that they laid off most of its staff and many others simultaneously resigned. And she said that they got rid of the sales team and that she found herself in a situation where she no longer had a competent executive producer, a full-time call screener, a paid assistant, a sound effects manager, and further, either had no guests or only decidedly C-list quality guests, and was provided with no research for a third-rate guest that was booked for a show, a lack of sufficient research for the topics at hand, provided with no editorial guidance, and she was expected by defendant TRN to, and here's the horror of the whole thing, basically produce her own show. So that's why she sued TRN, and I'm like, you know something? I don't know of anybody who has a sound effects manager.
A sound effects manager.
I have a paid assistant. It's me. Wow. You have a full-time call screener. It's you.
Yeah.
It's wow. Like, come on, Air.
Now, these 100 are
still on the heavy
undress. Let me just tell everyone who's ever left after all these years who might be listening either on live or not live, tell me to tell you two things. Number one, I just want to say this. If you're listening on live and not lifelike, which would be the repeat, or on Juice Talk later on, if you're listening live, following me, is Savino Veritas. And Tom Savino.
No, let me. Savino Veritas.
Is what?
Oh, I don't know if he's won an award or not. I just said the award winning.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you say that. Doesn't matter. But let me tell you something. But let me, you know, we're not award type people, but let me tell you something because I keep tweeting this. Because every night, you know, of all the talk shows, of course, Stephen Colbert is the one who bases every bit of humor in his monologue around the absurdity of the Trump world, okay, and it always dawned on me, and I tell everyone, you know, I don't know how many. What, are there 15 writers of the Late Show? Are there? He's on the.
I believe so.
He's got yeah, so. Right, and they 15 writers, and yet Tom Savino does it all by himself, and half the time better. So if you listen to crazy, you want to hear crazy politics and the fun stuff and. This is who you listen to. He does it. He doesn't have 15 writers. He doesn't have anyone, doesn't pay anyone to do the stuff. He does it himself. If you follow him on Twitter, you'll get little tastes of it. And he's on live after this show, which is, of course, Cthulhu Chronicles. If you're listening to the live stream, if not, then go to Juice Talk and listen to him there. And your other radio stations. And you too, Jiggy, as I told you before, if you know of any stations, internet stations, you just want to throw in some stuff, tell them they could go get Tom Free just like they get me and put him on whenever the hell they want. So there's that. And this is Cthulhu Chronicles, and my name is Frank Tolman. His name is Owen Titan. And anyway, here's a Jiggy Jaguar, and we're talking about, now here's what I wanted to ask you. This is not the, I don't think this is the site I was talking about unless they have another 2,000 listed somewhere. Okay. Little ones.
You might be thinking of TalkStream Live.
Let's look at that one. TalkStream, let's look at this one. Cause there's, these guys and gals, you know, it's bad enough, you know, what they're doing. And I don't know how they make it.
Stream live.
Talk stream. Oh, look, it's here. So I must have looked. Talk stream live. Talk stream online radio and best live talk shows. That's this one. Oh, these guys are on it again, though. Look, here's the same jerks. Yeah, and you know, I know.
That's what it is, man. That's just how it works.
No,
man.
There was another list I was looking at. There were lots of little, I guess this is an, how about John Tesh? You know, did you ever hear that crap? He does all these, you know, he does like a, do you remember the, I forgot what it was called in the beginning where you used to have to, on internet, used to have to do separate little, liners, and then you'd take that and you'd stick it in between songs and the whole thing would play by itself. Dude, what was that?
The world of voice tracking.
You know, yes, when it was voice, that's what John Tesh still does that. He never says what song is coming up and what song just happened. They come out of a song and he goes, you know, recent report is 67 Americans sleep without their pajamas. And then he talks about, and he does this stuff, and then he goes, and then they just do another song. So I don't know. That's a sweet deal. Cause he left that television show, that big television show.
Entertainment Tonight.
Yes. When he was on Entertainment Tonight, he left that to become a soundscape music, electronic musical star.
Yeah, he became a music guy.
Anyway.
He was a big musical star.
And now he says, he just reads these things that come out of Reader's Digest, which is amazing that's still around.
And it is. Reader's Digest.
I did a whole show on it once. I went, do you believe this? Reader's Digest.
Reader's Digest still out there.
Jordana Green. Who are these people? Jordana Green. KYW is still around. I know that. I know KYW from that. Carol, here's a man named Carol. K-A-R-E-L.
He's a man named Carol.
Carol. See, I don't know these people. Is this TV also? Mike Malloy.
He is a big time, liberal talker. And he is he's a foul mouthed liberal talker. He'll get on there and he calls Trump some of the most god awful names you've ever heard.
How do they, they're still a very, minor percentage of the total, right? Any liberal? Is there one place where they just have liberals streaming like they have?
No, I don't think so.
No, because there aren't enough. They used to be. What was it? What was it? America, USA? What was that one that tanked?
I believe so.
Yeah, because, but anyway, Dan Ray is Delilah.
Delilah.
How about Duke and the? No, the what? Duke and the. And there's a girl there. I guess he's Duke and she's the. Wow. Now, if we just look at this, which has a number. This has a number of different ones as opposed to ones that people know. All right?
Yes.
And the people who know them, you know, they still have a particular audience. Right? I don't know anybody young. I know a lot of young people, and they're not listening. They don't turn on Sean Hannity, and, or they don't wait in the morning in between classes if they go to college to listen to Rush Limbaugh. I don't know who listens, even if they are. I don't know what they listen to. But look at all these people. What are they? Who's listening to these people? Who are these people? Where do they get their audience? Do they make any money? A dime? A nickel? A dollar?
No. I don't know.
It's all like one.
It's a hell of a deal.
Like Clark Howard. Hey, Clark Howard is here with us tonight. Clark, what do you do?
Clark Howard is. Here's what I've always said about Clark Howard.
You know him all, though, don't you?
Clark Howard is Dave Ramsey without the better agent.
Oh, great. Now I got to look up Dave Ramsey.
Because Dave Ramsey is like Clark Howard really should have been back in the day.
I don't know what that means.
You know, because like Dave Ramsey and Clark Howard, basically when you listen to their shows, they have the same information. It's just the fact that Dave Ramsey's got a better agent.
Yeah, the same. See, you bring up a really good point, though, and that's this. Regardless of what the how visceral, what on what side of the aisle, or in the middle or whatever it is you do that is it's emotional and you know and it's opinion and it's this and that and all these people think they know anything, and regardless of what it is, a guy comes on or a gal comes on and talks about something, and then the next person comes on, you know, and then they talk about the same thing and they have the same attitude. There's no contrast anymore, in terms of, opinion or whether, you know, it's political, cultural, pop cultural. There's no contrast. I recently wrote and got I emailed the program director of WHP, I think it is, the radio station, which is connected to the TV station. Right, this is the radio station that's on the lower, the biggest one around here, on the, you know, lowest number, 580 on the band, okay? So I said, do you realize that when you air Rush Limbaugh, I just use him as an example, this really goes for a bunch of the shows. When you do that, and this is prime time, right? Afternoon, prime time afternoon. I mean, it's not drive time, but you know, he has a big enough audience to consider that prime time talk radio, right? You have lunch with Rush or whatever old people do. And, I said, do you realize?
Whatever old people do.
I said, do you realize, sir? I was very kind that I could also listen to him on the same band. In the same town, I don't have to leave. I don't have to get on a highway. I don't have to go X amount of miles away. But I could put on Rush Limbaugh on WHP, and I could also listen to him on three other stations on the same time, in the same community. And I said, like, don't you think, I would say to him, are you really making that much money? If I could listen to him anyway, why should I listen to him on your station? Why? What, you know, anyway, I just don't understand that. And, he apparently doesn't care what I don't understand because he never got back to me. Didn't matter. So I think the same thing happens if you listen to, any of those major ones, you know, the top 10 there, right? Same thing happens with Hannity. He's going to be on in markets will cross over borders, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So even in the afternoon when all these stations are at their highest power, even then it's like, I'm thinking, now forget about what I think or what I feel about these people or their shows or what they do or them as broadcasters. It doesn't matter. What matters is what the hell is this business? I mean, even television. And cable, even cable, as many stations as there are now, you don't get like, I'm going to watch, what station you want to watch the Andy Griffith reruns? Hon? What station? I don't know, we can watch it on five, it's on five different stations now. It's like, what? No, even TV, cable TV doesn't do that. How, why the hell is that? Do you understand?
It's just the fact everybody's getting old. That's really what it comes down to.
But maybe this has to do with what you're talking about with those stations, with networks tanking and stuff, because now how on earth can they make any money? If you're a local.
Here's where it gets difficult.
Okay, well, get difficult. Let's go on here because we're talking about the death of radio here.
If Rush Limbaugh can, oh, and by the way, anytime you need to cut me off to do your top of the hour thing, you can.
It's all right. I've gone over the top of the hour. I said, we're here. Let's go. Doesn't matter.
Rush Limbaugh's on 45 stations. You pull up iHeartRadio or you pull up, you know, any app, TuneIn app, Radio Loyalty, whatever.
Yeah.
You're going to find Rush Limbaugh on 2,500 stations. Well, the thing is that these radio stations pay to carry Rush Limbaugh.
No, they don't. Wait a second. What do you mean they pay him? Isn't this one of the, you know, doesn't he have his own sponsors and you get it for free?
Oh, yeah, but a lot of times maybe they don't do it anymore, but I remember when I was at Eagle Communications several years ago. Well, it would have been 2007, 2008, whatever. They had Rush Limbaugh and they had to pay to carry Rush Limbaugh on the station.
I don't understand that at all.
And that I never really understood because if you don't want to pay for Rush, don't pay for Rush. But it was always explained to me as, well, we can be the station in town that says, we're the home of Rush Limbaugh. And they can be proud of it.
Well, wait a second. If you pay, you get exclusivity, maybe. Maybe that's how that works?
I think that's what it is.
Within a certain...
Because there's a lot of these stations you see on, some of these different websites where market exclusive is always the term.
That's what they call it. Yeah, okay. Market exclusive, yeah. Well, that's, you could cheat on that too. That's what I'm saying. If someone's paying, if HP is paying market exclusive, then, I mean, they gotta be making big dollars because you could go over and cheaper because it's considered, like we said, markets, go cross borders. So there's another one that's down in York, let's say, so it's not an hour away. It's an hour away by driving, but why on earth are they you're not getting exclusive. If I could get them, it's not exclusive. Just because it's in another market doesn't mean you can't get the other market. What kind of an outfit is that Limbaugh running over there? That sounds to me like everybody's getting cheated. Are there 2,500 stations that put that guy on? And you could watch his big fat face. Not even that fat anymore. You could watch him on that stupid thing he does on his website, right?
See, that leads me into my next point that I was going to make.
Go right into it.
You're like the master of the segue.
That's me. Master of the segue. One more title I need. The Bard of Broadcasting, the Godfather, and the Master of the Segue.
The Master of the Segue.
Go on.
Okay. Rush Limbaugh and Alex Jones and all these guys, they have realized that radio is at its death's door. And so they want to be able to keep their audiences. So what you do is like with Rush. Rush goes, well, you know, we've got this up on our Ditto Cam, or you know, if you want to see me, you know, I'm explaining something to Snurdly right now, you know, whatever. And he tells you, go to rushlimbaugh.com and sign up for the Ditto Cam. Okay, most people would be like, oh, okay, so. Well, then he also makes comments about how, well, they've got a downloadable podcast and they have, you know, exclusive this, exclusive that. Go to rushlimbaugh.com and sign up. And he promotes that constantly on his radio show. Well, the thing is that he's promoting that across all, let's say, 500 radio stations that he's on. Okay, he's basically taking the listeners and sending them to his website. So if at one point or another, he happens to, let's say tomorrow, iHeartRadio decides they're dumping Rush Limbaugh like Cumulus dumped Imus. There's all these people that have already signed up at Rush's website. So Rush is going to retain a pretty good amount of his listeners. Alex Jones does this constantly. He's like, well, if you want to see the live video, go to Infowars.com. We need to go to Infowars.com. And he constantly promotes Infowars.com because he wants the listeners who are listening to him on the radio to go to his website and watch his videos and get all of his downloadable content.
And there's ads there, too.
There's ads. Yeah. And so he's trying to keep the people at his website. A guy that I talked about earlier, Bubba the Love Sponge.
Yeah.
Bubba the Love Sponge learned this years ago where you've got to own your own website. You've got to own your own domain. And you've got to have the ability for people to get your show, whether it's video, audio, whatever. Because Bubba has issues, we'll say. He's getting in trouble with not with the FCC, but he's getting in trouble with Arbitron because he likes to rig the Arbitron ratings out there in Florida. And he does things from time to time.
Okay.
So radio stations will throw him off the air. They'll just be like, well, screw this, you're done. Well, if he always tells everybody every day, go to BTL, what is it, BTLS.com. Because you never know what's going to happen, and if you ever turn us on the radio and you don't hear us there, go to our website and we'll tell you where we're at. And it's basically all these radio guys have realized, I need to get these listeners somehow on board with me because at some point, radio ain't going to be around any longer.
Yeah. Do you think they share audiences, don't they, these guys who do the same thing?
Oh, yeah. We were talking about Glenn Beck a little bit. We mentioned the Baxter still got his TV show, and he still got his TV network, and he still got all that stuff. Alex Jones and Glenn Beck have feuded forever. They hate each other.
But I understand.
They're in the same state, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
They're within driving distance of each other.
But they don't, wait a second, those shows are not, I mean, early Glenn Beck may have spawned something like Alex Jones.
Yes.
But why would the same audience listen to them? Because they hate one? I mean, they just set up like this fictional literary thing with
a lot of Alex's ideas, but Beck has borrowed. And a lot of Beck's ideas, Alex is kind of blatantly ripped off.
Hmm.
That's like during the presidential election with Trump and everything. Alex was a huge Trump guy.
Sure.
He was every day Trump.
Right.
And Ted Cruz, Glenn Beck was a big Ted Cruz.
Yes. Oh, right. Yes. Okay. Fine. So
there is a video, and I will have to find this and send this to you because it is quite hilarious. Where they were getting ready to do the primary down in Texas, and part of the rules for the primary is that you could show up to a couple of the primary locations and you could campaign. I don't know how the hell that you get away with that, but so Glenn Beck showed up at one of these primary locations and was campaigning for Ted Cruz.
Yeah.
And he was all, yelling.
Oh, I think I heard about this. And then they brought, yeah. and he and came and
Trump
they all left.
Walks in.
Yeah.
Trump walks in the other side
yeah.
and everybody goes, oh my God, Trump's here.
Yeah.
And they sweeped across and you could just see the crowd just moving away.
I saw that video. Yes, I did see that. I did see that.
And it's hilarious because it's like, it's the old pro wrestling thing where, oh my God, look, you just came through the curtain with a chair, kind
yeah.
of thing. And so the Iron Sheik is here, Oh my God, he just hit Hulk Hogan with a chair. Where the hell did he come from? That's what it is. So it's the pro wrestling mentality of
yeah.
politics.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, I don't know. Like, I, you know,
for
one
instance,
thing.
You mentioned the audience thing.
Yeah.
There is a group on YouTube, and they're progressive left wing kind of, you know, folks. They're called the Young Turks.
Oh, I've heard of them. They were on TV for, didn't they have a TV thing there?
They were on Al Gore's TV channel for a little bit, and one of their guys was on MSNBC for a little bit.
Yeah.
And they have some of the same ideas that they talk about some of the same ideas.
Right.
As it relates to, you know, the Federal Reserve and, you know, talking about various things.
Man.
Well, Alex Jones kind of does that too, where he talks about, you know, the Federal Reserve is a big scam job, you know, and all these different things.
Yeah.
And so a lot of the same people that watch Alex Jones will watch the Young Turks, and a lot of the people that will watch the Young Turks will watch Alex Jones. But what's funny is that the people who really watch Alex Jones don't really watch him for the information. They watch him because he's got a fun act.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He definitely has his own audience. That's what I mean too about the audience. He might be one of the unique. He is the unique. He's not. Nobody else is doing stuff that wacky.
No.
So he has that unique, real, like
for instance, the young Turks, they often will show up at like Hillary fundraisers and different things, and they would try to ask her different progressive questions, and she would be, you know, horrified by them. And Alex Jones kind of does that every once in a while with some politicians. Like there's a video of him stalking Karl Rove at an airport, and it's quite entertaining. And
But the no difference. Okay, go ahead. Finish your thought, and then I will.
But what happened was at the Democratic National Convention last year, the Young Turks had a press pass, and they were broadcasting from the National Convention, and YouTube had, you know, paid for them to be there and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And Alex Jones crashed their show in the middle of the show.
Uh-huh.
Just shows up. And there was this big pull apart and yelling and screaming, and everybody was, you know, having this, you know, grand old time on both sides. And at the end of it, it looks like a stunt. It's not, but it looked like, oh, Alex Jones is going to show up. The Young Turks are going to get all pissed. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be this back and forth. But go ahead.
Alex Jones does attract people who don't see it as an act or fun, though. So
and that's the thing. That's what's kind of dangerous about the whole thing.
And of course, that's always that's going to be dangerous no matter what you do. If you're a broadcaster and you say so, there's always going to be people who believe this or believe that or what have you. But in this atmosphere, it's a bit different. But Jones. What he does almost validates crazy things, and the people who think that way are going to go to him. They're not going to go and listen to he could have, in that respect, I bet you he has a younger audience too.
Oh yes,
because
yes.
You're right. Okay, because they're more apt to. Buy that crap. As opposed to Russia's crap. but still there's very little contrast, because if you like, look, there's so much conservative oriented talk radio that if you like one, you kind of like the other, or maybe you like one better because the sound of his voice is still some kind of personal bias for whatever reason, just the same way there's, you know, there's 12 singers. You know, I mean, you listen to Frank Sinatra, and then you listen to Dean Martin, and you listen to Stephen Lawrence, and you listen to Frankie Lane. All these guys sing the same song, and you go, yeah, and do I have to hear this song again? You know, it's like, come on, you know? to a different song. It's amazing to me how these guys, you know, used to do that. Even then, it was like they're those kind of singers. So, oh, I want to do that song, and I want to do that song. And they all do that song. And then what? Then now Seth MacFarlane's out there with a complete orchestra. He's so darn rich. He's a good singer and a good arranger, and he likes all that old stuff. And he's out there doing it while Harry Connick has a show. And then, yeah, they're all doing these songs, you know? The same thing with radio. You have, so an orchestra says, well, I'm a Sean Hannity fan, so I listen to Sean Hannity because I like whatever. You know, they can't even explain why they like someone, okay? Or I'm a Rush guy because I'm a whatever, okay? But those, but the people.
Well, and also you have to look at, and this is kind of interesting, like, when Rush was just some failed radio DJ who worked for the Kansas City Royals. Realistically is what he was.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until he had hit on something where he was attacking Bill Clinton. And Bill Clinton got so angry that he would talk about, well, Rush gets on the radio every day, you know, and, you know.
He wound up giving him press, huh?
Blah, 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 yeah, you know, and all this stuff.
Yeah, no press is bad press.
During the entire Clinton administration, he made Rush.
Yeah.
So then when this whole Trump thing started.
Now, wait a second. Hold on a second. I remember when I was living in San Diego, when Rush was coming out of Sacramento, and he was doing a talk show, conservative talk show. He had already done, he was already finished with that DJ junk, right?
Oh, yeah. He was a DJ who had became, he had a local talk show, and then he had a national show.
Yeah.
And then eventually they just combined it into the 3-hour show.
Okay, so go on then what you were talking
well,
about.
Then Alex Jones got to be a big deal because he kept talking about Hillary and kept talking about how Obama smelled like sulfur or something.
Yeah.
And all these things. So then Obama gets up there and he's like, there's this crazy guy on the radio who says I smell like summer.
Do you know that? That's better than Key or Peel or whichever one does Obama. You just did probably the best Obama I've ever heard.
I wasn't trying to do an Obama impression.
Wow.
But I mean, you know,
yeah, go ahead.
He did that, yeah. And then Hillary gets up there, and she's like, there's this Alex Jones guy. And every time that they would play these speeches, and I would watch these speeches where they would, like, drop his name, I'm like, oh my God, what are you doing? You're making him more famous.
Right.
Because there's going to be people that are going to be like, Alex Jones, what's an Alex Jones? And so they get on Google or whatever, Start Page or whatever they're using. And all of a sudden, you know, they're like, oh my God, this guy's a loon. Or they're like, man, this guy's got some good idea, or whatever it is.
Yeah, but they get his core audience gets it from word of mouth. What's that big website I gave up on? I forgot. Reddit.
Reddit. Yes. Oh, I don't understand Reddit either.
But these places where certain people in certain areas of thought and entertainment and politics get together, they meet each other and they know, so they all know of that. So what I'm saying is I think that the younger people who wouldn't listen to Rush and so they were attracted to Alex because it was just more,
well, and that's another deal is that I would say probably 5-6 years. No, not even that. No, I would say 2 or 3 years. I was entertained by Rush. The whole presentation. But then if you listen to Alex Jones, you're like, I'm not listening to Rush ever again. Because it is so much more entertaining. And the presentation and everything. And it's the same information, essentially.
Yeah, well, you know, you and I you'd listen for various broadcasting things that you liked about it, which is why.
Like Savage. We both are sort of Michael Savage fans. And it's not because of him. It's not because of the information. It's just the way that.
Yeah, it's not politics. He's just a, he's a, he's a, yeah, he's a down and dirty broadcaster. He knows what to do. Yeah. He knows how to say it, say what he, what's on his mind, and he says it in his own style. So, yeah.
There is a clip, and I will have to find this and send this to you. There is a clip of Alex Jones, and he is sitting there with this guy named Mike Serenovich, who is, Mike Serenovich used to be one of these, pickup artists.
Okay.
And he got into politics.
Okay.
He used to, you know, have these seminars where he would teach men how to go pick up women.
Oh, yeah, okay, fine.
And then he got into politics.
Gotcha.
Well, there's a video where he's sitting there and he's going off about, you know, Hillary Clinton's this evil woman, you know, all these things. And he's, you know, going off. And then at one point, Alex gets ready to throw to a clip. They have like a package they're going to play of some past Hillary speeches or whatever. And he's like, well, we're going to go to this clip right now. And, you know, and he does the good send off and he sends to the clip, and then he pauses because he's waiting for him to cut the mics to play the clip.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike Serenovich sees the pause and he's like, oh my God, I've got to fill the airtime. So he jumps in.
Mm-hmm.
And Alex Jones on camera turns and looks at him like, are you out of your mind? You've just ruined our transition here. And then he interrupts him and he goes, well, we had some problems in the truck. We got that clip. Okay, we've got that clip now. Okay, we're going to go to that clip. And it's kind of like he's essentially looking at Mike Serenovich and he's like, shut the hell up. Mm. We're going to my clip. Just shut the hell up. And it's the thing of, he's such a good broadcaster that's why you watch or listen to the guy, because, and so when you see stuff like that where he's like, oh my God, this numbskull over here.
Sure, this is what I've been saying for years.
Just rot my pitch.
It's what I've been saying for years about the farting preacher, you know, that.
You do that every year.
Yeah, yeah, because people must, you must know if you're in, you know, people in broadcasting would go to broadcasters and see who they liked, and that would be, you know, people wanted to be in broadcasting and they'd be inspired or whatever like that. But there's so many different places to learn. I'm always telling comics that I write for comics here and there. And I'm always telling them, look, don't watch so many other comics. So read serious stuff and see what's funny about it to you. You know, it's like, there's so many places to go to learn, what to do. And I think it's not good to, go to somebody and then you want to be exactly like them, and you can learn certain things about broadcasters, like you're saying, if you listen. But you and I and people who want to be in broadcasting, I don't know how many of those are left in the world or whatever.
Because
they can do it now, because they can just podcast and go, hey, I got a podcast.
Yeah. People can just podcast, and, you know, and I'll give you an example of some of the different things that I've noticed. That there is a gentleman and you're probably going to, you know, have a good laugh riot with this for about 10 seconds here, but I've been mentoring him in Wichita, Wichita, Kansas, and I've been trying to help him, you know, do some things with broadcasting, and he's a really good sports guy, and I ended up helping him get a gig at a place called Steckline Media. And he got in there, and a lot of the problems that he had when he was there was basically just jealousy of the other broadcasters that were working there. And they eventually figured out a way to drum him out of there. And there's two things here. One, when in the world did it change from, it used to be like, if you were to get a hold of me, and you were to say, hey, you know, I want to come work for your company, whatever, I would look at you and I would be like, man, Frank, he's been involved in broadcasting all these years. He's done all these amazing things. Oh, my God. I've got to have him work for me. Instead, now it's, well, I don't want to let that Frank guy in here because he might steal my spot.
Yeah.
So that's what broadcasting has essentially become. Like, for instance, I made the comment earlier in the show about the Iowa gig, you know, and I was going to go up there and we're going to do the Iowa thing. And at that, when I went up for that talk radio gig, they wanted me to come up and see the station and do an on-site interview and rah-rah, sis, boom-bah. Well, I had to pay for my own gas to get there, and I had to pay for the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this last venture that I was going to go do, the guy was going to pay for my gas, and he was going to pay for the hotel, and he just wanted me to come up for the weekend, and he would show me around the town, and, you know, I'd do an on-site interview with the guy. And what's happened is that radio has had to get to the point where it's got to be nice to people, because radio has realized that there's nobody really left doing radio.
Mm-hmm.
It's come down to, do I hire Frank Cotullo or do I hire the mop? Oh my God, the mop wants health benefits. I'll probably end up having to hire Frank.
Well, you know, Lloyd, let me tell you something about that though. Because listen, when I came to Pennsylvania and I stopped doing what I was, came here to do anymore. Okay. And I said, you know, I bet you I can get back into some local radio, even part time. I, you know, have some fun or do some stuff because I know a lot of stuff. And yeah. I did. I was, my resume did nothing but hurt me.
That's the thing.
And you know what about these people? They wouldn't tell me no to my face. One guy led me on to where I had a job and never, where I was going to get this job. And I said, look, I'll do that. I don't care. You know, I was being honest. I wasn't just doing, I'll do this. I'll do that. Fine. You know, never told me I didn't get it. Never called me back. One day I called them and I said, hey, you said that was, you were waiting a couple of weeks or what have you. Did you come up with, oh, he goes, oh yeah. He said, well, we found somebody. We found a kid out of college. And I said, well, you know, thanks for calling. Thanks for telling me no. What kind of garbage is this?
I had, and this is right along those same lines. I had a gig that I was going to try to get in, of all places, Casper, Wyoming.
Oh. What's his name? The guy who shot someone in the face, the vice president.
Cheney.
That's where he's from. That's his hometown. Anyway,
Casper,
go ahead.
Wyoming.
I know that, right? Go ahead.
It's a fun Frank Cotullo factoid.
Fun fact, yeah. Casper.
Fun fact.
Casper the friendly ghost town.
Casper the friendly ghost town, that's right.
Go ahead, talk. I went and I was gonna
get this gig, we're gonna do all this stuff. And I sent him all my stuff and resumes and everything and audio, and they loved it. And so then they got me on the phone and they started talking to me. And if the guy literally could have reached through the phone like an old Bugs Bunny cartoon and yanked me through the phone and had me in Casper, Wyoming, he would have done it. Well, at the end of the interview, he's like, well, I'll give you a call next week and we'll get things figured out. So next week rolls around and they reposted the job. But they didn't. It wasn't the same company. It was the company in the same town. It was a different radio company that was posting the same job. And I'm like, I bet I know what happened. I bet, and I was telling this to somebody one night at dinner, I said, I bet I know what happened. I bet the guy went to the office and said, oh my God, I found this kid, blah, 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 you know, whatever, in Kansas. And we got to get him here. And oh my God. And the owner, who's probably, you know, 80, 90, whatever, goes, I'm not hiring some kid from Kansas to come here and do this gig. Just go across the street, offer the news director over there the same amount of money or a little bit more. And we'll just do that. And so I went ahead and applied for that other position that was open. So then I finally got on the phone with, I called them a couple days later and I said, hey, I've got a question for you. I said, why are you guys hiring? And they go, well, the reason we're hiring is because our news director got offered more money to go to another station in town. And I'm like, well, at least I was right about something.
probably move there for like $10 more a week.
Probably.
And these kids who they're getting, this is funny too, these kids they're getting who are just learning, okay, they run the risk of, you know, of kids, people who are just learning something, doing, you know, things wrong, incorrect, and, you know, they're learning. They run the risk of having to put up with, you know, inexperience.
Well, yeah.
But also, these kids who are learning, once they learn, where do they go? They can
and
be
see, that's the thing.
And they're replaced by other kids who want to learn. What do you want to learn this for? There's no, you can't do anything with it. It's like, you know, you don't tell a 17, 18 year old, you don't say, you know what you need to do? Why don't you get a zither? It's a foreign instrument and you would learn it and really play it, like learn to really play it and then go out there. And then what? I'm the best zither player on the side of the Mississippi.
Let me give you a good example of how, and this is a television thing, not really a radio deal, but one of my college professors in Salina, Kansas, Paul Green, he's getting to the point with his telecommunication students where he is basically teaching them how to use their phones to do everything. Because there are apps and there are things that you can download where you can shoot video, edit video, and post video all from your phone. You don't need to go learn how to use a camera. You don't need to go learn tapes and editing and all these things. You do everything on your phone.
Okay.
And it's like, okay, at that point, you can pretty much do, essentially, if you really want to work on it, you can do that with audio. You can record it, you can edit it, and you can post it from your phone. And you don't need, you know, the boards and the mixers and the computers and all the mics and the shock mounts and, you know, all the stuff. And it's just, radio is, you know, I have a hope for radio to kind of turn around because I see this stuff with Cumulus and iHeart and everything, and you see this stuff where they're slowly but surely, you know, gonna have to change. And I've talked to enough local radio stations and enough small market radio stations around the country where there is still good small market radio stations. Like there is a gentleman, ironically, in Iowa, in a place called Denison, Iowa.
I've heard of Denison.
He basically owns two stations out there, and he does basketball games, but he doesn't do them like most local radio stations will do basketball games. Like, for instance, there is a station here locally where they, during basketball season, they go out to all the little tiny towns in the area and they sell advertising to mom, dad, the grandpa, the grandma, everybody. And then they will go broadcast all these games. And sometimes some of the games are on at once, so they will tape them and then show them later. And they're doing all these things. Well, his formula is he sends crews out to all these games. And if they happen to be following a game that's a blowout in one of these tournaments, they stay there for 5 minutes. And then they go to the next game and they broadcast that for 10 minutes. And then they go to the next game and do that for 10 minutes. And they constantly are updating games and constantly, you know, are broadcasting the games. Well, their whole goal is they want to take everybody's money. They don't want to just say, well, we've got the room tonight to broadcast two games and we've got four teams. So we're going to go to those four little tiny towns that are playing. Mm-hmm. And it's a situation of radio, local radio and small market radio has realized sports, weather, and some local news. And that's what people want to hear. They don't care about Rush.
No.
They don't care about Hannity. Because realistically, Rush, Hannity is just a copy of Rush.
Yeah, well, they're
Hannity
all...
was... Hannity was Rush's fill-in.
Well, they're all, you know, that. But listen, let's spend the last 15 or some odd minutes here talking about this.
Okay.
This is where we've been doing this for when it was new from the beginning. And still doing it live. Some people do it live or what have you and whatever. And you know, because we've done any, I've done any number of shows about, you know, what the mainstream brick and mortar radio and media has done. And we've gone through all that stuff. But what happens to this? This is not going anywhere, is it?
No.
Okay, so now that there's the podcast helped us in the beginning because because people had iPods or whatever and they could listen to the show when it wasn't live. So you gained listeners, even though there were more podcasts, okay? But that was still before all the big guys and the right came in and said, well, we could stream and we can have, but suddenly they discovered the internet, you know, it was there. Now there's this.
Marin and all the ilk.
Yeah, all of them. Now there's this, and this is still here, and there's not much else moving towards this, and there's no money in this, and the diehards are here till when, I don't know, or what have you, but this is what? Where is this going, and is it not going, or is it over?
Oh, I don't think it's over.
Well, what do you do? And what do you see doing in this theater that can do anything for you?
One of the things that I do, which it's...
Oh, wait a second. Are we going to get into all the promotional stuff? The promotional stuff? All the stuff you do with other people, with promotion?
No.
What?
Like, for instance, I do a Sunday show where I do 2 hours. And we have that on a couple different stations. And that's mostly, you know, in-studio guests, and we have some musicians and different things like that.
Yeah.
And then during the week, I'll have my, I guess you would call it a, I like to refer to it as a political show, but it's not really a political show. And you have on the righties and the lefties and a lot of the people that you can't stand that I end up putting you with sometimes. And, people like that.
Yeah.
But then I also am doing, you know, video interviews with bands, or I'm going out and doing, like, for instance, in 2 weeks, we're going to be going out to, or actually not 2 weeks, 3 weeks, we're going to be out at the Planet Comic Con in Kansas City.
Yeah, okay.
And I'm going to be out there interviewing, you know, people that are involved in comic books and different things. And it's like, I always try to be diversified through all this stuff.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of people that, you know, all they're doing is yelling and screaming into a microphone and hoping that somebody's listening.
So, you're doing, I think what's
my hard buddy Ed Till.
I think what's going to happen is, I think a lot of people, I had a friend of mine, Bill Bostic, who used to direct a lot of the videos and do stuff.
Oh, I remember those videos well. I show them every once in a while to people, and I'll be like, you got to see
this. He's started this little business of like local journalism thing where, you know, you could broadcast on Facebook. You get sponsors from this area, a certain area.
Wow.
And he's trying to set up this model which other people can do, that can start, okay, make money, do local journalism, because, you know, local regular TV stations and radios, you know, they're suffering, okay, and they're asking people to do stuff for nothing, to get local, because, you know, no more newspapers, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, yeah.
This is probably the only place where this can exist. Is for people to start getting into something low, as you're doing, and expanding.
Well, and we didn't really get a chance to talk about this, and we probably should at some point.
Well, go ahead and talk. You saw it, Tarn.
Newspapers.
Newspapers.
You know, we talk about the newspapers and how the newspaper industry is, you know, slowly but surely crumbling, which it is. But a lot of these newspapers are basically becoming like these local radio stations.
Yes.
Like there has been a rash, and I don't know what the hell the actual term is, but they have these new newspapers that are printed and they're weekly newspapers.
Mm-hmm.
And for instance, that one, I'm originally from the rolling city of McPherson, Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
And in McPherson, they had a paper called the McPherson Sentinel. And the McPherson Sentinel was, everybody and their brother took the McPherson Sentinel. Didn't matter if you read it or not. It was the newspaper. It was the town's newspaper, and you read it, and, you know, that's what you did. Well, the Sentinel got purchased by a company out of Texas called Gatehouse Media. Well, Gatehouse Media came in and bought a whole bunch of newspapers in the middle of Kansas. And then they just started firing people. Well, slowly but surely, the McPherson Sentinel started covering nothing but national news. They didn't bother to cover, you know, the house that burned down last night, or why the cops were over on Plum Street, or, yeah, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And so a woman who used to work for the Chamber of Commerce decided, I'm going to start my own newspaper. And she called it the McPherson News. And basically her and her husband printed a newspaper. They didn't get like a big printing press like you would do a newspaper, but they printed up essentially a newspaper.
Sure, there's another industry that's gone down.
Yeah. So they got local sponsors, right, and they did it once a week. And they went out and they covered, you know, local sports and took some photos and covered the bake sale, you know, and all this stuff, and they put it in the paper.
Mm-hmm.
And so everybody got the weekly paper. Well, slowly but surely, the Sentinel loses advertisers, loses, you know, this and that, and at some point, Gatehouse Media is probably going to just fold the paper,
right,
and be like, eh, we're not going to bother with that anymore because it's not making us any money. And so that's where I think radio is eventually going to go, where they're going to be like, well, we don't want Rush on 53 stations. We're just going to have a local news guy at noon who's going to give us the news and information. Mm-hmm. And
locally,
that is probably going to be very boring to a lot of
people. Well, you know, if you do local, look, if you have a captive audience, people within the borders of X amount of area, you know, you're not going to strike it rich, but you could probably make a living because those are the people that audience is your audience. And if they'll support you spreading, and then it's a community thing again. Okay. Not like now. If people can do that, it's fine. But the fact, so it's really ironic that this particular medium came about and we could talk to people from the beginning. You know, people were listening to me in cafes in Spain. I didn't even know what I was talking about.
I still think that's great.
It was such a unique new thing. Now it doesn't mean anything because anyone can hear anybody, can hear anything anywhere. So it's going to come back. If it comes back, it's going to come back to the local platform.
That's one thing that every once in a while I'll
because this died. This didn't turn into what it should have, right?
No, because like for instance, a lot of people they love to take pot shots at me because it's just I'm easy. It's easy to jump on the hate Jiggy train, and I get it. But
but where's this going? Yeah.
Like with my, you know, I do the radio show out of my living room, and I've got a full setup, and we've got mics and all the stuff. And so we have guests over and things. Well, people will every once in a while, you know, well, you know, Jiggy does a show out of his house. Well, then Mark Maron came along and did one out of his garage.
Yeah, right.
So then all of a sudden it was like, well, at least with me, I got air conditioning. So it's just, you know, and like even with you, and I know you don't like it when people put you over, but I'm going to put you over. how many people can say that they've had Oscar award winning people on their show? Not a lot.
Yeah, I know. But see, none of that. There was a time where I thought some of that stuff, it broke some ground in terms of this kind of, this theater of broadcasting, the, you know, it's interweb, you know, broadcasting. But it didn't get us anywhere. We didn't get anywhere. And you know, how long are you going to sit here? You have to think about it. You know, this is so serious. Someone else has to, it's got to go somewhere. And I don't know. I just don't know anymore. I'm questioning the value of it completely from top to bottom for me. Because what are you going to do? Do another 10 years of little few people here and there, and then people, I don't know. I just think that it's...
Well, one thing about me, and I've had those same...
But this is all you do anyway.
Those same issues. But what's funny is, and I'll give you a good example of this. There was a guy that I interviewed years and years ago. He was a rapper in Salina, Kansas, and his name was Capes Palomino. and
I love that name.
And one day I get a call from a guy that I know in Louisville, Kentucky, who used to be a professional wrestling manager. I think Bill Bostic at one point was a professional wrestling manager.
Oh, right, right.
He was a professional wrestling manager. His name's Starmaker Bolin. He calls him, he's Kenny Bolin, the Starmaker. And Kenny sends me a message on Facebook, and he's like, do you know a guy by the name of Capes? And I said, yeah, how the hell do you know this guy? Well, he's in my living room right now installing my ceiling fan. And I said, how did you bump into him? And he goes, well, he came in and he was installing my ceiling fan, and he saw my microphone set up, and he goes, oh, I got a buddy in Kansas named Jiggy. And Kenny goes, I know Jiggy. You mean Jiggy J? And so it's a thing of, you just never know where the listeners are, and you never know. And it's kind of a cool little deal, but yeah. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I put absolute, well, this is a whole nother thing for another show, I think. But the godfather of internet radio is wondering, what the hell are we doing anymore?
What the hell are we doing anymore?
I wish there was a way of finding out, and maybe there is a way of finding, I don't know what it is, but we'll stay in touch. I gotta be running here now, because Savino Veritas, for those of you listening live, is waiting to get on the air and give you some of the funniest stuff you've ever heard. You we'll be on again. We'll talk about this stuff more. Find out more. Here's your homework. Find out more about what's happening in live internet radio with people who have just been around. Who's left? Who's around? I'm not talking about the Dez. You know who I'm talking about. In our world of dinosaurs, you and I, what's going on? Okay.
Who's left?
Yeah. We'll see what else is going on in that. Thank you, Jiggs.
And, yes.
Stay well and do whatever the hell it is you do. I don't know. He's on Sundays and Mondays. Just Google him. You see, we can't even do that anymore. Just Google him. And...
I have my own app.
Okay, he's got an app, too. The man's got an app, so he can't. Good night, Jigs. The jig is up for now.
Yes. Love you, Frank. Thank you, brother.
Take care, man.
Best to your audience.
Yeah. Hey, did you hear him? I think they both heard you. Good night. There goes the Jiggy. What is a Jiggy Jaguar? Anyway, what is a Jiggy Jaguar? Does anyone know? Ay, 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 ay. It's unbelievable. We don't know what this is. Look at this. The sound changes. Look what happens. The darn thing, the volume thing breaks down. I'm telling you. There you go. What a... I don't know, the settings, the this, the that. Man, there it is. There's everything right there. It's like, throw that in the garbage. My name is Frank Cotolo, man. His name is Jones, the title of the show. Cotolo Chronicles at blogspot.com. Find out what the hell's going on YouTube. Not YouTube. FaceTube. Facebook, or whatever. Find it. You know where to find it. Go buy my books. Thank you. It's a whole new year. And we'll be in touch with anything new that's going on or what's happening. Good night, Mrs. Ernstweil, wherever you may be located, if you are still located anywhere anymore. I guess I'm going now, and you know why. I got nothing more to say.